The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from KHUH LP 104.9 FM Seattle, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee!
Kellyanne, the blonde you love to hate, with the best news since faith-based reality. Now the internet can be on your side, thanks to AlternativeFacts.com. Imagine an alternative answer to any question, a way to free yourself and your family and friends from the tyranny of Google and Wikipedia. Our patented Alternative Facts Generator engine harnesses cutting-edge artificial intelligence technology to produce believable fact-related answers to your questions. Any question, anytime, 24/7. But here's the key to why AlternativeFacts.com will change your life. Through what our data mining system already knows about you, the answers are personalized to you and what you already believe and know. No more embarrassment in front of friends, family, or employers.
Wow, your phone says game 5. All right, dude, drinks on the house.
Huh, this says they skipped a leap year. I'm sorry I doubted you, honey. For any device, for your entire connected world, AlternativeFacts.com connects you to the answers you want. Designed by top professionals in the field, AlternativeFacts.com doesn't look like some scuzzy fake news site, because it isn't one. It's the same alternative fact generator engine used by top professionals, and now their secret is yours too. But don't take my word for it, even though I'm being paid to not lie to you. Try AlternativeFacts.com on a free 10-day trial. We're so sure you'll want to subscribe after those 10 days, we'll already sign you up. What have you got to lose? Except self-doubt. AlternativeFacts.com. Our truth will set you free.
All right. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for January 17th, 2020. I have a brand new show for you this week. And for the second half of the show, I have the final segment of the Thunderbolt's Most Evil Persons in History Award, nomination number 4. But first, I wanted to point out that for the January 3rd archive show, I recommended a website called They Rule for tracking all of the richest people and all of the richest corporations, as well as tracking all of their intimate connections with each other. But since I recorded that piece, They Rule has since merged with another website called littlesis.org. That's littlesis, S-I-S. And Little Sis does the same thing as They Rule did, only Little Sis does it better. So anyway, it's time to fasten your seatbelt and hold on to something, because here we go. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for January 17th, 2020. This is my first new show of the year, and I want to start off 2020 with some fantastic news for suburban dwellers. Though keep in mind, in referring to suburban dwellers, I'm not talking about people who live in Lacey or Tumwater. I am referring instead to people such as myself, whom financial necessity has forced to live in a Chevy Suburban. And I am most happy to announce that we now have a new buddy that revolutionizes SUV living. Yes, I would like to introduce Thunderbolt fans to the portable buddy by Mr. Heater. Yes, kids, my new portable buddy is about the size of a bread box. And once I crank him up, my portable buddy heats my Suburban to room temperature within a couple of minutes. Yes, gone are the days of trying to operate a computer keyboard with frozen fingers. No longer must I try to record my radio show whilst swathed in blankets and wearing gloves so that my microphone will not freeze to my hand. And even if when I ever do manage to find a proper home, I now have a year-round recording studio, and I do not need to continue my years-long search for a heated space to record my radio show at 4 o'clock in the morning during the winter months. Now, when I was in prison, I would have given a body part for the opportunity to live in my Suburban. So I can look at my current situation from that perspective, and it's not really so bad. The fact remains, though, that living in such a small space still kind of sucks, especially during winter months. However, thanks to my portable buddy, it certainly sucks far less than it did before. Thank you, Mr. Heater. When I was a child, I had a worldview imposed upon me that I accepted without question, because I had never met anyone who did question it. Well, I just heard an interview with a white guy who grew up in apartheid South Africa. And he pointed out that he had never questioned apartheid until he was in his early 20s, because he had never met anyone else who had ever questioned it. Evidently, apartheid was a very effective system. Now, this gentleman had never in his life interacted with a black person until he was in his 20s. All his life, it had been explained to him and assumed by everyone he ever knew that apartheid was a beneficial paternalistic system wherein white people were taking care of black people because black people couldn't take care of themselves. But it was never explained to this gentleman that the reason black people couldn't take care of themselves was because everything that they had long ago been stolen by a bunch of people with guns. I am thinking that most everyday Israelis have never spent much time hanging out with Palestinians. I am convinced the vast majority of the evil stuff that goes on in this world, in fact, is the result of ignorance rather than evil. People know what they know, and people don't know what they don't know. The trick is to first accept that, and then to learn the difference. Ah, yes, here we are, in 2020. I can't help but wonder what the new year will bring us. Elizabeth Warren decided to end 2019 by criticizing Pete Buttigieg for hosting a bunch of elites at a fundraiser that was held in a wine cave. This left Elizabeth Warren wide open to the criticism that Ms. Warren is herself an elite multimillionaire ex-Republican, whilst Mr. Buttigieg himself is none of those things. The fact that Mr. Buttigieg evidently is willing to try to make a career out of kissing elite ass makes him, in some ways, even worse than someone that was born to the role. But that is beside the point I'm making here. NPR's Peter Sagal pointed out that a wine cave was actually a completely appropriate venue for a Democratic fundraiser, since pretty much all the Democrats ever do these days is wine and cave.
Powerball Lottery wants to know, what would you do with $1 billion?
I'd buy an army and kill everybody.
I'd finally get that abortion.
I'd move my favorite football team back to Los Angeles.
I'd kill Nicole Brown Simpson all over again.
I'd sew a cat's head onto a dog.
I'd have a second cup of coffee.
Harry never has a second cup of coffee at home.
I'd bring Hitler back to life.
I'd buy an island in Tahiti and have it gold-plated.
I'd probably break under the strain.
Powerball. $1 and a dream.
Now, let's go to national news. Donald Trump recently announced that he is appointing a new homelessness czar. His name is Robert Marbuch Jr. And amongst other things, Mr. Marbuch believes that feeding homeless people enables them. Well, Mr. Marbuch is indeed 100% correct. Eating does indeed enable houseless people to continue living, amongst other things. And I am quite sure that this new homelessness czar will mirror our president's general level of compassion when it comes to the weak and the vulnerable. In fact, how much do you want to bet that one of the first solutions that the Rump's new homelessness czar will present will be concentration camps for the houseless? I have already heard of plans to refurbish a bunch of old prisons into homeless shelters. Yes, this could be the one-size-fits-all final solution to homelessness. And as far as doing something about all of this, or about everything else for that matter, it sometimes seems as if we are merely talking to ourselves in circles, and that our activism isn't actually getting anything done in the big picture. The thing is that you never know what is going to hit and what isn't going to hit. And while most things indeed don't hit, the fact remains that when something does hit, the results can sometimes be truly profound. When something does hit, in fact, is when true change happens. And to those of you who feel that our activism is ineffective, I would point to the protests against the WTO in 1999, usually referred to now as the Battle of Seattle. So before the WTO protests, there were plenty of studies demonstrating that globalized capitalism was not only not leading us to sustained growth and prosperity, but indeed, it had produced the exact opposite, especially in the global south. So I'll bet that you didn't know that the actual data actually shows that current global pro-market policies actually promote more inequality and more poverty and more economic stagnation. And I'll bet you didn't know that because the media machine somehow always fails to report on that. But after the Battle of Seattle, it was not just the WTO meeting that collapsed, but afterwards, the press actually started paying attention to and reporting upon those many downsides of our current model of global capitalism. And after Seattle, we had some spectacular defections from the globalist camp. Men such as George Soros, Joseph Stiglitz, and even Dr. Shock Therapy himself, Jeffrey Sachs. More studies have since further confirmed these facts, as well as the fact that the World Bank has been deliberately distorting its data and making unwarranted claims. And as a result of all this, public confidence in global capitalism has been seriously eroded. And this happened not because of the facts, which had been there the whole time, but because the WTO protesters in Seattle put a spotlight upon those facts. And like I said, you never know what's going to hit, so you just need to constantly throw everything against the wall so you can find out what sticks. So I was pissed off about having to constantly try to find things in my truck in the dark, when the thought crossed my mind that for most of human evolution, our ancestors lived half their lives in the dark. they didn't have flashlights or big lighters, much less street lamps. And when it got dark at night, then until they learned to tame fire, they lived in that darkness right along several other species of large, badass animals that weren't at all averse to eating humans. Go outside in the woods some night. Imagine hanging out in that darkness every night for your whole life. After humans tamed fire, we could create usable light. But only if we had fire, and only in places where we could take fire. Once we left our village, or our cave, or whatever,
think that we won't do, think of the hurdles we're going through. Crazy.
Then unless we had torches, we were moving in darkness.
Think of the things that we won't do, think of the hurdles we're going through. Crazy.
And even torches only light a small circle of space. There was still a lot of darkness outside of our little circle of light. So say what you like about the negative impacts of our civilization. And I regularly take that advice myself. While we've destroyed the planet, caused untold death, misery, and suffering with our greed and short-sightedness and with our ignorance. In spite of all, I think that electric lights are a really cool thing.
Today on Things That Are Headlines for Some Reason.
Comedy Central Roast was a turning point in Justin Bieber's career.
Channing Tatum does a lip-sync battle against his wife on The Tonight Show.
Taylor Swift and Calvin Harris enjoy adventurous Christmas celebration together.
Victoria Beckham wished her fans happy holidays by posting an Instagram picture of herself and her family.
And Amy Schumer tells Barbara Walters she might want to have kids someday, but she's not sure how realistic that is.
These were real headlines on Things That Are Headlines for Some Reason.
Yes. So, moving along now to our national political theater. Regular Thunderbolt listeners may remember I have been predicting that this impeachment thing was not going to end well for the Democrats. Well, the rump is not going to be convicted in the Senate, and thus he will rightfully be able to claim full absolution, at least in a strictly legal sense. And in addition, it seems as if these impeachment efforts have merely caused all of the rump bots to become even more convinced that their champion is being unfairly attacked by the corrupt elites. And so they have merely entrenched themselves even deeper. And this whole thing has not hurt the rump's overall popularity one little bit. In further addition, the Democratic Party elites seem insistent upon running Joe frigging Biden. They keep insisting that he is the only one who can beat the rump, even though I cannot think of any other candidate who would be more likely to lose to the rump. In further addition, the state of Wisconsin was one of the many states that Hillary Clinton's campaign ignored because the rump was not supposed to win there. But then he ended up winning there anyway. Now the Republicans in the state of Wisconsin are about to purge over 240,000 mostly black voters from their voter rolls. And a Rump-appointed federal judge has just given legal blessing to their plan. And in spite of the fact that it would be nearly impossible for the Democrats to beat the Rump without Wisconsin, no one is really saying anything about this massive voter purge, because everyone is so distracted by their farcical impeachment theater, so that no one is paying any attention to anything else, which is the whole point of the impeachment theater in the first place. So I guess that it's doing its job. And once again, the Democrats seem intent upon handing the Republicans everything that their cruel little hearts desire. Just like they always do. Now, a reasonable person might reasonably start thinking that the Democratic Party is actually just a pacifier that the machine is sticking in our mouths so that they can shut us up without actually having to provide any substance. But at least we can rest assured that the Democrats will likely be whining and caving all the way to the end. And we're going to take a quick station break now. We'll be back in just a minute. And now, it is time for part three of the Thunderbolts Most Evil Persons in History Award. Nomination number four, which goes to Sidney Gottlieb. So in parts one and two, which aired on the December 20th show, I revealed that Sidney Gottlieb was the father and the chief administrator of the CIA's infamous MKUltra program, which represented a major CIA effort at mind control. Listeners also learned the totally crazy fact that part of the MKUltra program resulted in journeying on an entire generation of Americans to LSD. I also explained how Sidney Gottlieb was the CIA's poisoner in chief, who conducted foul medical experiments upon thousands of people over three continents in order to develop methods of destroying people's minds. Or failing that, to develop numerous and varied methods of dealing out clandestine death. I also revealed the fact that as a result of his MK Ultra work, Sidney Gottlieb became the most prolific torturer in American history. Anyway, the turning on of America to LSD came about after Mr. Gottlieb incorporated LSD into his MK Ultra experiments. In some of these experiments, Mr. Gottlieb used LSD as one of his many tools of torture. He did this by seriously overdosing people and or by keeping them under the influence of LSD nonstop for weeks on end. It turns out, in fact, that the infamous gangster, Whitey Bulger, was one of many inmates in American prisons at that time who were subjected to being dosed with LSD for many days on end. And Mr. Bulger later stated that this experience had changed his entire life. Though he was evidently displeased with those changes, as Mr. Bulger also expressed a desire to go and, quote, kill the doctor, unquote, who had administered this experiment. However, Mr. Gottlieb also wanted to know how ordinary people would react to LSD under normal conditions. And so the CIA contracted with several universities to conduct experiments with LSD upon volunteers. And it turns out that one of the very first volunteers for this program was Ken Kesey, who participated at the Veterans Hospital in Menlo Park, California. Well, Ken Kesey loved LSD so much that he got a job at that hospital specifically so that he could steal their LSD, which he did indeed subsequently do. And then Mr. Kesey went home and turned on all his friends. And in a side note, Ken Kesey also used his experience working at that hospital as the basis for his novel, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And meanwhile, over at Stanford, amongst the first volunteers to participate in their LSD program was famed beat poet Allen Ginsberg and Grateful Dead lyricist Robert Hunter. All of these people absolutely loved the stuff. They all told their friends to come on down and volunteer for Mr. Gottlieb's program. And soon thereafter, LSD leaked out into the public at large. And then, when Augustus Owsley learned how to manufacture the stuff, Mr. Owsley then pretty much dosed the entire nation. And what this means is that Sidney Gottlieb, a CIA operative who was one of the most prolific perpetrators of crimes against humanity in the 20th century, was also the individual who first turned on Ken Kesey, who first turned on Allen Ginsberg, and who first turned on the Grateful Dead. Thus, Sidney Gottlieb became the unwitting godfather of an entire counterculture whose central aim was to destroy everything that the CIA was and everything that the CIA stood for. And as for Sidney Gottlieb's other experiments with MKUltra, they were numerous, they were crazy, they were widespread, and most of them were highly criminal. Just one of the 146 programs that Mr. Gottlieb administered, for instance,
was called Operation Midnight Climax, wherein a CIA operative named George Hunter White, who was a bizarre character in his own right, set up a bordello in San Francisco, and he hired prostitutes to dose their customers with LSD so that Mr. White could then watch on camera and record what happened. When the lid was finally blown off of MK Ultra, Sidney Gottlieb was soon to be dead, and thus the CIA was most happy to escape accountability for MK Ultra by blaming everything on Gottlieb, stating that things were just crazy back in those days, and thus Mr. Gottlieb was able to perform all his actions without anyone upstairs knowing anything about it. Which, as I mentioned, was indeed true in a purely technical sense. But as I also mentioned, this was only true because Mr. Gottlieb's superiors didn't want to know what Mr. Gottlieb was up to, specifically because they could then avoid accountability if, when the lid were ever blown off of his activities, by truthfully being able to claim ignorance. And of course, the final bizarre twist to this story is the aforementioned fact that Sidney Gottlieb was not a sociopath. In spite of everything, Sidney Gottlieb appears to have had a conscience. After retiring from the CIA, and after destroying all records of MK Ultra, it was obvious to many people who knew him, as well as to Seymour Hersh, who interviewed him during this period, that Sidney Gottlieb was a very troubled man. After his retirement, Sidney Gottlieb and his wife spent 18 months running a leper hospital in India. And then Mr. and Mrs. Gottlieb spent his final years looking after the dying at a hospice. And when Sidney Gottlieb died in 1999, Mrs. Gottlieb declined to provide a cause of death. But in spite of all the misery and death perpetrated by Sidney Gottlieb, and despite all the lives that he destroyed, the actual toll of death and misery that Sidney Gottlieb caused pales in comparison to that caused by men such as his boss, for instance, Alan Dulles, who was directly responsible for the deaths of many millions, if not tens of millions, of innocents. Or even compared to some of the more famous mass exterminators, such as Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, and Pol Pot. Still, the bizarre nature of the harm Sidney Gottlieb caused, and the fact that, unlike all of the others, Sidney Gottlieb did not have the excuse of being a sociopath. and thus I feel that qualifies him for a nomination for the Most Evil Persons in History award. If not the actual award itself. And so now we end this cautionary tale. And leave you to whatever lessons you take from this bizarre chapter of American history. Get to work now. And thus ends part one of the Thunderbolt, Why You Should Be Upset. Next comes part two, What Can Be Done About It. Across Cascadia, the masses are arising in response to
the Olympia Action Alert
for the week of January 18th to January 24th, 2020.
All right, so it's time to break out whatever you use to record information, because here comes the calendar. Our first event is later today, Saturday, January 18th. It's Active Hope Within Climate Disruption. This will be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 3201 Boston Harbor Road, Northeast. I'll repeat that in a minute. This event was organized by the Thurston Climate Action Team, and this is their message. What if we could make a difference? Do you live in despair, fear, and rage about climate disruption, ecosystem collapse, injustice, and political chaos? You can register by sending an email to Lynn, L-Y-N-N, at thurstonclimateaction.org. There's also a Facebook event, and that's all the contact information I have. So again, this is Active Hope Within Climate Disruption, Saturday, January 18th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 3201 Boston Harbor Road, Northeast. Also later today, Saturday, January 18th, it's the Olympia DSA 2020 Local Convention. This will be from 3 to 6 p.m. at the First Christian Church, Olympia, 101 North Church Street. This event was organized by the Olympia Democratic Socialists of America, and this is their message. At our convention, Olympia DSA will be reviewing our work over the past year and setting priorities for 2020, as well as electing new officers and working group leads. We've expanded our efforts significantly since becoming our own chapter in 2017 and are looking forward to further growing the movement for socialism in 2020. To vote at the convention, you must be a member in good standing of the DSA. Join or renew at dsausa.org/join. If dues are a financial burden or if you have any other questions about membership, you can contact membership at oledsa.org. There's also a Facebook event for this event. So again, this is the Olympia DSA 2020 local convention, Saturday, January 18th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the First Christian Church Olympia, 101 North Church Street. Now we go to Monday, January 20th. It's a Martin Luther King Jr. Day Volunteer Restoration Work Party in the West Bay Woods. This will be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the West Bay Woods. They'll be meeting at 1212 Dickinson Street, Northwest. This event was organized by the Olympia Coalition for Ecosystems Preservation, and this is their message. We will be honoring Martin Luther King Jr. this month by building ecological diversity and resiliency in our community. People will be joining us for a fun day of native planting and ivy removal in the beautiful West Bay Woods. We have hundreds of native plants to get in the ground just in time to take advantage of this glorious winter rain. People will be bringing an extra layer and some friends for a fun day in the forest. We will be meeting at the park entrance at the east end of Dickinson Street Northwest. But please park on Rogers Street and walk down, as there is no parking available on Dickinson. So again, this is a Martin Luther King Jr. Day Volunteer Restoration Work Party in the West Bay Woods, Monday, January 20th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the West Bay Woods, 1212 Dickinson Street Northwest. And our next event is Tuesday, January 21st. It's Democracy Lobby Day 2020. This will be from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Washington State Capitol Campus, 501 Capitol Way South. This event was organized by Fix Democracy First, and this is their message. People will be joining us in Olympia for a powerful day of advocating for democracy. We'll be meeting in the Columbia Room in the Legislative Building. We will be meeting with legislators to advocate for bills that will protect our democracy. We will also hear from legislators and guest speakers. We will learn about critical democracy issues and bills and be trained by professional lobbyists. We will be meeting with our state legislators and networking with others from our area. People with questions can contact Kathy Sakahara. The email is ksakahara, S-A-K-A-H-A-R-A, at lwvwa.org. So again, this is Democracy Lobby Day 2020 with the League of Women Voters and with Democracy First, Tuesday, January 21st, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Washington State Capitol Campus, 501 Capitol Way South. Also on Tuesday, January 21st, we have Medicare for All plus a Bernie canvas at Evergreen. This will be from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Evergreen State College Library. That address is 2700 Evergreen Parkway, Northwest. This event was organized by the Olympia Democratic Socialists of America, and this is their message. People will be joining us to talk with students about policies like Medicare for All, social housing, and a Green New Deal, about how these can make their lives better, and about how Democratic Socialist campaigns like Bernie Sanders and Joshua Collins are important to winning these. We always provide training for new canvassers. We hope a lot of people will be joining us. These conversations are the way we will build a movement for freedom and equality. People can RSVP at actionnetwork.org, hit the events tab, and then look for Canvas for Bernie. So again, this is Medicare for All plus a Bernie canvas at Evergreen, Tuesday, January 21st from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Evergreen State College Library, 2700 Evergreen Parkway, Northwest. Next, we jump to Wednesday, January 22nd. It's the Thurston County Game Changer Group. This is from 6 to 7 p.m. at the First Christian Church, 701 Franklin Street, Southeast. This event was organized by the Civil Survival Project, and this is their message. Are you or a loved one formerly or currently incarcerated? Do you experience barriers to work, housing, and being a full participating member of society due to your conviction? Game Changer groups are a place where people can come and find a community of formerly incarcerated people and allies that have been through similar barriers and may provide support. People will be coming to build community with us as we organize to identify what needs to be changed and put justice into the criminal justice system. I have a phone number, 206-602-3463. Again, that's 206-602-3463. Their website is civilsurvival.org. So again, this is the Thurston County Game Changer Group, Wednesday, January 22nd, from 6 to 7 p.m. at the First Christian Church, 701 Franklin Street, Southeast. Also on Wednesday, January 22nd, it's the Community Accountability Reboot, What It's Been, What It Could Be. This will be from 7 to 9 p.m. at Firefly Yoga. That's at 421 Water Street, Southwest. This event was organized by the Snake Mirror Transformative Justice Collective. And this is their message. The Snake Mirror Transformative Justice Collective invites everyone to share their reflections on community accountability processes in Olympia. The hairy, the scary, the wary, and the totally life-changing. People will be joining us for a roundtable wherein we will recount, reimagine, and reboot the transformative potential of beloved radical community. And the only contact information here is a Facebook event. So again, this is the Community Accountability Reboot, What It's Been and What It Could Be, Wednesday, January 22nd from 7 to 9 p.m. at Firefly Yoga, 421 Water Street, Southwest. And finally, we come to Friday, January 24th. It's the Youth Climate Lobby Day. This will be from 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Temple Beth Hatfilo, 201 8th Avenue, Southeast. And Hatfilo is spelled H-A-T-F-I-L-O-H. This event was organized by Our Climate. This is their message. People will be joining us in Olympia to meet with their elected officials and demand that they press bold, equitable, and science-based climate policies this legislative session to protect our futures. This year we are demanding that our lawmakers declare a climate emergency, improve our state's pollution limits to be up to date with the latest science, pass the Transportation for All bill, and pass a clean fuel standard. The day will include breakfast, a lobbying training, a rally with youth activists and performers, and meetings with elected officials. After lobbying, we will celebrate with a food and a raffle with great prizes at Fishtail Brew Pub, an all-ages venue. You can RSVP at the website youthlobbyday.squarespace.com. Or if you have questions, you can send an email to emily@ourclimate.us. I also have a phone number, 360-754-8519. So again, this is a Youth Climate Lobby Day, Friday, January 24th, 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Temple Beth Hatfilo, 201 8th Avenue, Southeast.
And that's it for the show this week. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Thank you very much.